Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Well, hi, and thanks for joining us for this special FX Podcast. And some big news last week in the visual effects world. That was Imagineer Systems kind of making an NAB pre-announcement about their new VFX architecture mogul. They'll be talking about it at NAB. And so to that end, we wanted to get right to the scoop and right to the story on that. So I've invited Alan Jenicke, who's the CEO of Imagineer Systems, to chat with us today. Alan, how's it going? Thanks for taking the time.
Very good. Thanks a lot, John, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, first off, I got to say, it's kind of it's a tough market, the systems market, I think. There aren't a heck of a lot of players in it, and there's a lot of ebb and flow in it. What did you see in this market that made you want to enter it?
Well, essentially, John, this all started out a couple of years ago, not with so much with us seeing an opportunity really customers coming to us saying, "Hey, guys, it's time for something new. What's on offer out there? The sort of choices we have are very limited. You guys seem to be, 60, 70, 80% of the way there. Why don't you step up to the challenge and solve these problems that we're having?" That's really how it all came about.
Now, let's talk a little bit about philosophically about how the system works. It's effectively made up of several different parts. Why don't you explain the system kind of what, I guess, starting with Mogul Serve, I guess?
All right. Okay. So let me sort of take a step back and just give a bit of history, because originally, the original idea was actually to start out with this single big finishing system that, essentially what many people are after these days, or an alternative that people want these days. Now, what we decided after discussions with a lot of customers was that people really want a much more modular system, and the creative tools are as important to them as is the workflow that ties these different tools together. And to that end, Mogul Serve is the sort of, I guess, the backbone of the Mogul system, which is a workflow module that allows people to collaborate more easily than is possible today.
And then on top of that, let's talk about the master station, I guess, which is kind of the heart. And I guess the best analogy I would assume to master station would be something like in the past, the Harrier, some kind of Quantel product, or the Flame or Smoke or whatever.
Yes, that's correct. And as I said, that is the sort of hero system that we set out building, but we sort of expanded on the different tools that feed into that. So the Mogul Master System, yes, that is a high-end finishing system, a system, so hardware and software delivered together, really based around a 3D rendering engine. So we're planning to put a lot of 3D into that system, trying to bridge the gap between 2D and 3D. As everybody knows, 3D is becoming more and more important in post-production in VFX. So having a system that from the ground up does 3D very well is very important. Now, a change there in the sense that we want this to be a finishing system that really helps teams collaborate. So in today's world, in today's post-production world, teams collaborate, specialists put different pieces of the puzzle together, and we want to be able to seamlessly feed that into the master system so that the master system becomes one where the sort of senior creative actually leads the project and pulls everything together seamlessly.
The tool set, even though we'll talk about it later, the kind of the separate software packages within the master systems, there'd be really tight integration between the tools, feeling as though it's one software package in essence.
That is correct, yes. At many different levels, actually, both within the sort of standard tools that traditionally or sometimes have been split, editing, compositing, grading, and so on. So a master system that is a complete tool set that really integrates these different tools, but also complete integration across different, to the desktop. So, for example, you have a compositing toolset in the master system. You would have a similar compositing toolset on the desktop, for example.
And the idea behind that would be that you could break out these individual software elements such as Edit, Comp, Paint, Roto, and Track, and kind of farm those off to a less expensive software-based system or even a junior artist.
Exactly, yes. Essentially, the Mogul platform, the components of the Mogul platform have been modeled on traditional, really job roles within a facility. So there are some facilities that have dedicated rotoscoping artists. There are facilities that have a lot of desktop compositing artists. There are facilities that have people that only do paint, for example, or cleanup work. So we essentially have architected this in such a way that there is a particular tool set for each sort of potential job role within a facility, so that a facility can construct Mogul to actually fit the workflow and the particular setup that facility has.
Now, one question about the individual software packages, if you're using them as an artist kind of in a support station, a lot of the times you're going to be doing things like roto and tracking and painting, comping, maybe almost combined to pre-comp a scene or something like that. Do those individual applications in thinking about them have a way to seem integrated, or will it be like you start up one application, start another, similar to your current products?
Okay, essentially you'll get both, and this is probably an important point to make here. All the modules of the Mogul platform can stand on their own, can be used on their own. So if you in a facility wanted to use the Mogul Serb product together with your existing Shake or Fusion Seats or whatever it may be, you could actually do that. If you wanted to use Mogul Roto as a standalone roto tool, you could do that. Now, the thing becomes really interesting when you start hooking all of this up together, though, because then things really do integrate. For example, you could have a setup where you have Mogul Serve and, let's say, 10 roto seats and 2 compositing seats. And when these artists then work on these individual tools, they're actually working together. They're collaborating together on Mogul Serve. So that's where all the data is stored. That's where all the metadata is stored. So there's never any need to, you know, email a file across or, you know, save a setup to a temp folder so another artist can retrieve it and so on. The whole workflow becomes much more seamless. And then obviously there is sort of a hierarchy within the platform as well. So you have the individual tools like Mogul Roto, et cetera. And of course, if you look at the Mogul Master System at the other end of the scale, that integrates all the tools into it.
So there are also several different hardware-based aspects or products within the Mogul family, also the assist, traffic, and review stations. What are the concepts behind those?
Essentially, what we are saying is that there are instances where we need to be able to guarantee the performance of a system. Whenever we do real-time playback at high resolutions, whenever we do I/O, etc., we have to be able to guarantee performance. What we think we can add, what we think we can add value, is by putting complete systems together for the customers, essentially, so that they don't have to do it themselves within the facilities. Once you start trying to put these systems together that need to have a certain performance and so on, you actually realize it's quite hard work. So where you have products that need to guarantee performance, we will do that work. We will make sure that we test the hardware, choose the right components, integrate it all together, test it before we ship it to the customers and so on. That is really the idea behind the systems products, that you can get a black box, you plug it in, and it works.
That's a look at the various aspects of the system, but something that's really quite new, at least in the visual effects industry, is the way that you're going to monetize that. You're not effectively, to my understanding at least, going to be able to just go out and buy a base system. You're actually approaching it a different way through some kind of subscription program.
Yes, that is correct, yes. Essentially, we sort of had a look at what we were trying to achieve with Mogul and what some of the problems were in the marketplace. And one of the things we came up with was that we actually had to change the approach to selling the product. We had to step away from the sort of classic charge people a large sum of money up front. So essentially, what we've said is we will sell all these systems and software products on a subscription model, which means that on a monthly basis, you pay a fee to actually use the system. It's like a rental model in effect. You rent the system rather than owning it. The benefits we see here is that, first of all, you don't have a large capital expense up front, which is very important in today's market. Everybody is pretty careful in terms of making large capital expenses, and if you can avoid making it, that's really a great benefit. But it gives a number of other benefits also. One is that, you know, we're talking about collaboration here, and one of the sort of classical problems people have is that within a facility, and also between different facilities, you often have incompatible systems. One facility has decided to upgrade to the latest version of a system and the other one hasn't, and therefore the project files and so on are not compatible. So we wanted to figure out how we could solve that particular problem. How can we take that decision of upgrading away from people so that you don't have these barriers to collaboration? And also, from the vendor's point of view, it is actually a huge drain on resources to have to support two or three version old software because you still have a lot of customers out there who have not upgraded yet. And those are sort of examples of different benefits, both for customers and vendors, that we see that we can achieve by having the subscription model where effectively, because everybody pays on a monthly basis, everybody is constantly up to date. We simply build the latest software updates and so on into that subscription model. And also on the hardware side, for the systems products, the subscription model then includes hardware upgrades, which means that we take all the hard work out of what components should we buy when, are they certified, et cetera, et cetera. And also it means that we have we avoid surprising customers like so often happens where, the latest version of our system will no longer work on the old hardware, so you now need to go out and spend another $50,000. So less surprises with the subscription model because we manage the whole hardware upgrade process also. And from our point of view, it then means that we're constantly developing towards the latest technology as opposed to having to maintain backwards compatibility with old hardware and so on.
But it does also put the onus on you to really experience timely upgrades, consistent upgrades, bug fixes, and so forth, because we're going to be paying for that on a monthly basis. So it does put a certain burden on you as well.
Oh, exactly. And I mean, we love that. We want that pressure, really. It's we're really putting our neck out here in that sense. There has to be that pressure on us because we want to continue to be innovative. We don't want to, go out and make the sales to everybody and then be able to lean back. That's, that's old school. We really want that pressure. We want to remain innovative. And the pricing model, as you said, is a way to keep that because our lifeblood, depends on being able to push things forward, being able to keep customers happy in that sense. So we welcome that challenge.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out because this process has been used in other industries before. I think been somewhat attempted to use in the visual effects industry, but this is the first, or one of the first. I think one interesting aspect, though, that this really does bring flexibility is a lot of times in working on a job, you do have a big job come in-house and you need to have some extra roto or paint stations added on. And it seems like, at least from everything I've read, that that's pretty simple to do in this case, that you could get a short-term license or whatever to add a feature to your facility, right?
Exactly. That's another problem that we wanted to solve with the subscription model. The way we envisage this is that for the systems products, because of the installation time, et cetera, they would probably become part of the sort of core infrastructure in the facility, and there would probably be a minimum rental term of it will vary from product to product, but let's say on average maybe a year. So for the systems products, you would sort of keep them in there. They are your core infrastructure. But on the software products, we would be able to offer much more flexible terms such that you could very easily scale up and scale down as projects come and go. And that's something, again, that's becoming very important in today's market. Why make an investment in a lot of software tools that you don't need in 3 months and they're just sitting there? Then you have the upgrade cost later on, et cetera.
Right. Now, the software tools are actually, what's the basic operating system that the hardware or the software products are going to run on? Is it Windows, Linux, or?
For the systems products, they will all be based on a Linux platform. For the software products themselves, we're going to do exactly what we're doing with the current products now, which is supporting Linux, Windows, and Mac.
And speaking of the current software products, actually, you actually sent out an email or a notice in the week Imagineer Systems newsletter about some complaints that have been kind of raised against some of the software being buggy, not having manuals. That's actually an interesting aspect for someone who's going to invest in a total system from you guys where you've had some problems kind of addressing some software bugs. What are you doing to get the software, your current software products, up to speed and more stable?
At the moment, we are essentially doing two things. We are doing some bug fixing on the existing products that are out there to make them more stable. But we're also saying, okay, guys, we realize that there are actually some sort of very fundamental problems, let's say, with the software. That means that we're really shifting all of this to a new platform. So we're taking all of the current technology we have in the existing products, and we're saying, okay, we've started the Mogul architecture from the ground up, based on all the with a lot of sort of lessons learned in terms of the current products. And what we're going to do is we're going to take all of those existing products, the technology and so on in them, and we're going to move them across to the Mogul platform, because we know that that has been built better from the ground up. So you'll get a much more stable, much faster product once we achieve that. And that's what really one of our sort of key goals at the moment. We obviously want to make that transition as fast as we can, but at the same time make sure that we come up with some very solid products based on the Mogul architecture done.
Right. Now, you've actually, for freelancers, has been a great deal that you've been trying to get people so that they have access to your tools, so they go in a facility. We've had some great software discounts that we've had at PhD and actually in general on the web. But so people have invested in these products actually at a great price. But it's not as if tomorrow you're going to have new software packages that will be available to replace these, right? This is a process that's going to happen, I think, in, you've said, over at least 18 months, correct?
Well, that's certainly right. I mean, we essentially from now on, from NAB, where we're releasing the first product on the Mogul platform, from then on, you'll see quarterly releases of new Mogul modules on that platform. So essentially, it's something that will start at NAB, and you know, we think it'll go on for a very, very long time, because we constantly get requests from the facilities we work with for new products. So that sort of platform and the set of modules that we have on the Mogul platform at the moment is something that is growing and changing all the time. So yes, it's very much a transition. And also, I know there have been some sort of concerns expressed about, you know, are we actually killing off these existing products? And I would not regard it as that. We really are looking at how can we transition these existing products over to the new platform. Yeah, they will have a new name, but, you know, regarded as a, you know, next version, a version 2 or whatever number it is that would be appropriate for the tool you have, that will be, you know, a really step change in terms of the tool set and the product.
So your plan is to, first off, try and remove some of the bugs in the current software, and then also provide a reasonable upgrade path for existing customers to your new products then, in summary, is that?
In summary, that's the case, yes. I mean, we are, as I said, we're working on those bug fixes as we speak, but really the big solution to most of the problems that have been expressed is really, okay, let's move it on to the Mogul platform. And then with that, one of the reasons really for going out and getting all of the freelancers and the students and so on board with these great offers was to increase our user base, get as many people exposed to our technology as possible, and then move them, you know, onto Mogul with us, give them a really significant upgrade in a very attractive way that everybody will be very pleased with. And, there's no sort of hidden agenda here whatsoever. So, we're very open about what we're doing. We want people to come with us on this ride.
Now, so in terms of these software products, your underlying architecture is going to be the same, but there's a little confusion, obviously, I think, in the various product lines currently, and I think it seems much clearer in what you have. But is stuff like functionality in the UI going to change dramatically as well? Or are you kind of reworking the way things actually work in your applications from a user experience?
Oh, things are going to change dramatically, really. What you will see is that certain of the sort of lower-end products we have at the moment, like Motor and Mocha, the Roto and tracking product, will remain pretty similar in the sense that you will have a Roto tool set and a tracking tool set in the equivalent Mogul tools. Now, there will be a big enhancement of the UI, because you will suddenly have a library interface which will allow you to manage your media much better, plus the actual tool set. But then for the Moki and Monet tools, That's probably where you'll see the biggest change and also the biggest sort of increase in the feature set that you'll end up with as a user, because we are planning to transition them into more traditional sort of paint and compositing tool sets. So that's the sort of Mocky and Monet users are the ones that stand to gain the most in terms of increased feature set, yeah.
So also for the individual user who wants to upgrade from your current products to the new ones, are those also going to be subscription-based even for an individual user, or are they going to be an outright purchase option for those single applications?
This is still something that we're working on finalizing. It most likely will be on a subscription basis, and we still haven't worked out the exact details of how we can do that. That's a discussion that we're having in the team at the moment, and a discussion that we will be having with some customers in the near future to find out what would be a fair deal. The reason we would like to move everything to a subscription model is really to maintain those benefits that I spoke about earlier, making sure everybody is on the latest version and so on. And really, I think, talking about smaller facilities or freelancers, the subscription model really is a great benefit because, we're talking about, for the software products, fairly small payments, actually, which should make it very easy and very attractive for them to actually get on board with these tools.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think from an end user standpoint, what needs to happen is you need to look at, I need to look at what I'm spending on software upgrades now, expecting a product update every X months or years, tolling that up and seeing if that amortizes about the same as what a subscription base would be, and from my standpoint.
Exactly. And it's, actually, interesting, that's the way we work out the subscription price. We look at a comparable product and say, how much would it cost to buy? How much would it cost to pay for support over a three-year period, let's say? And then on that basis, we work out what the subscription price should be. So really, the benefit here is that you don't spend all the money up front. You end up spending a similar amount.
Now, let's just backtrack just a little bit because I want to get a better idea of, say, what might be suitable for, say, a smaller facility. Maybe a smaller facility isn't going to get a master workstation, but can you still get the kind of workflow management and server stuff with the software applications, or do you have to buy the master station and then the store and the serve aspects?
Now, really, you have complete flexibility here in terms of how you put the different modules together. So for a small facility that, let's say, maybe has or wants five desktop compositors and, maybe has a rotoscope artist as well, you could go and simply buy the desktop tools, so five Mogul sort of desktop compositing tools and five Mogul rotor tools. If you don't want the workflow, you buy the Mogul Serve, so the desktop tools themselves can connect to Mogul Serve, and then suddenly you have a sort of desktop setup with the workflow component as well. Then your facility may grow and you may find, hey, we actually need that finishing system because we have clients coming in and so on and so forth, and then you can add that on later. So actually you can grow your facility with this, and you can start from wherever you are at the moment and get to wherever you need to be in the future.
Well, I think the really interesting thing about some of the management and metadata support and permissions management is interesting from a small to medium facility standpoint, because a lot of large facilities have rolled their own management software, but smaller facilities haven't been able to do that. But it's really a complex problem, isn't it? Managing permissions, version checking, making sure you're not overriding something that someone else needs. I mean, that's going to be a tremendous amount of work for you guys, actually.
Yes, very, very much so. And that's, of all the things that we're doing at the moment, I think that is the greatest unknown, in the sense that nobody has really solved that problem yet, I think. As you said, yes, various facilities have built various little systems in-house and so on. But if you contrast it to a compositing toolset, for example, it's fairly well understood what a good compositing toolset would look like. It is not so well understood what a good sort of asset management, revision tracking, and so on, a workflow system would look like. So that's really where there is an opportunity, I think, for a vendor to step in and say, okay, let's think long and hard about this and solve this problem for everybody. Because it is something that is needed both by large and smaller facilities. from a large facility point of view, you know, can you really afford having a lot of engineers developing this in-house? Or in the case where you only have one, what happens when he leaves the facility? In the case of the smaller facilities, well, you just don't have the luxury of being able to build things in-house, but you clearly still need those tools. Too many people lose too much time losing files, you know, having to redo things, not being able to find the latest version and so on. So it's a problem that everybody has, large and small, and we intend to come out with a solution to this that essentially will be attractive to both.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. You're probably familiar with, I'm sure you're familiar, Gridiron Software showed at Macworld their Flow Situate software to kind of try and deal with content management. So it seems kind of like an interesting thing that people are definitely trying to do. How do you compete against something like Gridiron Flow versus yours, where Gridiron is maybe a little bit more open and not having to buy into the full mogul suite, I guess?
Well, certainly, firstly, on the point of openness, it is our intention to make MogulServe an extremely open product, in the sense that, and I think I mentioned this early on, you could buy MogulServe and nothing else and use it with your existing systems. That definitely is the idea. Now, obviously, there are a lot of benefits that you can add, a lot of really advanced integration and clever tricks that you can build into the system once you essentially both deliver the workflow solution, also the different creative tools. There is always a limit to what integration you can do. If you're just a workflow piece that, you know, tries to integrate other third-party software applications. So really one of the biggest things here, and this is something we've said from day one when we've discussed it with facilities, we really think it is very important that we deliver both the workflow piece and also the creative tools, because that will be a big step for us.
Looking forward now, over the next year and a half, you'll be rolling out these products. And as I mentioned first thing in the podcast, you're entering a field where you have some really solid players who've been there for a while, Discrete, Autodesk, Quantel, that have been kind of time-proven in larger facilities. We're making a big investment in systems, and there's a lot of experience there. And while you've been around with software products, you are kind of new to the game in this idea of, you know, a total system the facility can rely on. What can you say to a facility to kind of give them confidence in that, hey, you know what, we're going to be able to deliver this thing?
Well, we have some very clever people working with us who, you know, have done things like this in the past. That obviously gives us a starting point. We've been around in the industry now for 10 years, observing what other people are doing, and you know, there is a lot of talent out there, you know, who have that industry experience and so on that we are tapping into. So we're learning very quickly, and I think from what we've achieved in the past, you know, people can sort of judge us on that, and hopefully they'll come out saying, well, these guys really, you know, can do it.
In a year from now, we have this conversation again right before NAB. Where would be a happy spot for you? What are your expectations? what are your realistic expectations, I guess, a year from now? I mean, what will you be happy with, I think, as far as where this is going?
I would like to see a lot of happy customers out there who come back and tell us that, yes, what we have done has helped them deliver their spots, their films, their TV programs faster, better, easier. That's really what we judge ourselves by. It's how, you know, how can we enhance the life of our customers and make them more creative, make them more productive.
Well, it's going to definitely be an interesting year and interesting NAB. We're definitely looking forward to chatting with you when we're at NAB doing podcasts and FX Guide TV from NAB. Hopefully we can sit down and get some screen capture stuff from you. So, and also thanks for taking the time today to speak with us. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, John. I look forward to NAB as well, and I'll certainly see you there.
Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2008 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide.